Sweet Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that loves undivided.
Yep. Welcome back.
You either go to church or you
don't. Okay, you know what? Real quick, announcements before we move on. We haven't done announcements yet today. So, well, you know what? I'll come back to that. We'll do that at the bottom of the hour. I'll finish this thought. We'll go to the phones real quick. So, you know, having a healthy respect coming out of the subject matter from the end of hour one, not, you know, being simple-minded about these things, but you really, I mean, if you read the brief letter of Jude, one chapter, you get a sense of what I'm talking about. And so how has language been corrupted? You know, again, if you don't have a healthy respect for the devil, for example, then you probably don't realize this idea that has been expressed by folks like Charles Baudelaire. You know, the finest trick of the devil is to persuade you that he does not exist. And if, you know, if that's possible, well, then all of this sleight of hand with translations, for example, first we're going to make everyone literate, and then over the course of generations, we're going to propagandize people until finally all they know is what they're told to know or think or believe. So the word human is an interesting, study in this. You will not find the word human in the King James translation of the Bible. And yet subsequently, it's all over the place. New King James, 15 occurrences. Several of the other translations, less, well-known, the YLT 14. LSB 28 instances, ESV 63, RSV 37, NASB 38, NIV 186 results, 186 instances of the word human used in the NIV. What do you suppose that is? NLT 184, and, you know, NASB 95 has 38 results. The NASB 20 has 88, 50 more. That's interesting. So without diving into, a word study on each of those instances, we've had discussions for years on this network about the word human, for example, what it represents, and how there is a distinction. If there's no distinction between man and human, then why not just keep using the term mankind or related? Why use the word human? It's not as though the term mankind has entirely gone extinct or out of common use, though I would say it is for reasons that pertain to what I'm talking about. So here is what I would call an example of the corruption of language and the concepts that are in tow with it. And this is no small matter. And I will illustrate why momentarily. First, let's go to the phones and grab Mike in Kentucky. Mike, thanks for calling. Welcome.
And a lot of times I think words just get used without meaning, without knowing what they mean. Hang on a second here. I'm trying to. There we go. I'm off the speaker. You kind of surprised me there. A lot of times I listen in the background while I'm doing other things, and I heard Mike from Kentucky said this or something about, and then you, I missed what exactly the topic was. But on this, what we're talking, what you're talking about right now, one of the words that hit me upside the head probably 20 years ago was the word eccentric. And it used to be kind of an insult. You know, you're talking about Howard Hughes. He was kind of eccentric, you know. He didn't trim his fingernails for 2 years or something. And so the word became kind of derogatory. It simply just means that you're not in the center of the way whatever, I guess, society is seen to behave normally. So I looked up, I think it was in Ballantyne's Law Dictionary, probably 25 years ago, when I first heard that, the word human, without any explanation at all, in a law dictionary, just says sea monster. You know, I go look up the word monster. So, you know, without explanation, what the heck did they mean by that? I never did figure that out, but I had to go to a law library to look it up because I didn't have a Ballantyne.
Essentially a homunculus.
Huh?
A homunculus.
Well, this just said human. Oh, well, this just simply said human sea monster. And, of course, I'm sure you've heard the same analysis of the United Nations Charter on Human Rights, where everything basically is a government-granted privilege, and the attitude that the certain factions of Zionists have, that they are the chosen, that the Goy were simply created to serve them, and they're not considered fully human, a lot like the definition of slaves and black people or whatever in America were considered three-fourths of a person. So
yeah, I think that's misdirection.
Right, and there's also
and kind of a limited hangout.
There's also the concept some people try to come up with that only certain lines of genealogy even had a soul. You know, like there was a previous, what's the word? There was a previous version of people that only had spirits, but Adam became the first living soul. And a spirit and a soul. With that expression, you know, when they talk about disasters, like the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald or something, so many, quote, living souls were lost. That expression has went away as society's become more correctified or secularized. They don't want to even entertain the concept that we have a soul we could lose. You know, so... what exactly was you referencing? Were you referencing me about, though, with something I'd brought up? I missed part of that last time.
Well,
hour.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, I just referred to your call about the, in the King James, the translation of the word Lord and the question that you raised, and I addressed
that.
Oh,
yeah, because of the internet. Because of the internet age, a lot of the web pages do not preserve this capitalization and the italics, like for the doctrine of devils. You know, the concept there that King James had added, and I have to wonder sometimes about the motivation of King James influencing the translators, because people don't think about it. He had a regime and a power to maintain, and he couldn't allow the sort of thing, and maybe a factor in the King James motivation for the King James translation was the Geneva Bible. And if you've ever tried to read that, it's really fun, as you're going back into pretty much Middle English with the characters and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the side notes or the glyphs was what I'd heard about that motivated me to get try to find a copy of that and look it up and read it. It talks about the Pope and the Pope's garments in three languages having the numbers for letters in the Grammatria 666 are on the Pope's fish hat and his scarf or whatever that is he wears, tallit-like thing around his neck. And so they were trying to say the Pope is the beast of Revelation in the side notes for the Geneva Bible, which became America's Bible. One time I was in the National Archives, they had it on display with Magna Carta and the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and a copy of the Geneva Bible, which apparently was the Pilgrim's Bible. And they didn't teach me any of this in school. I had to learn it all later, and a lot of it in the Internet age, which I swore I would never get on. I pretty much said I would never get on the Internet, but I ended up having to for work. But there's so much out there that there's a lot of stuff gets lost in the noise. But I'm trying to remember where that is, where they kind of define the doctrine of devils. But when you read it without the words "and commanding" in there, which was, it's in italics in the authorized King James Version, and a lot of words are added for clarity in the King James Version with italics. You have to understand what the conventions were being used, because English was so limited. I mean, we're still adding words to the American English.
I don't know that I agree with that. You know, first of all, on the issue of souls, anything that is, you know, outside the text, you know, I would question.
That's what I'm
there
questioning.
There are reasons to try to invent that.
Commanding was not in the Greek.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the issue of souls specifically and other things related to that. You know, the gap theory and things like that, you know, the Holy Spirit, I would just, you know, people that have those questions, I would encourage to pray, and the Holy Spirit, I think, addresses those things. When it comes to English, to say that we are, you know, apparently more sophisticated today and words being added and so forth, I mean, the sophistry that's employed today, you and I think, would agree is just, it's mind-blowing. And to set, I don't know, Shakespeare in front of any young person today, or, you know, maybe the pamphlets that circulated in the American Revolutionary era, to set any of that in front of a young person today,
they're lost.
I would challenge the notion that we're more advanced in terms of language today than we were 100, 200, 500 years ago.
Well, I didn't say that. I'm just saying they've added, and every year they add more words to the dictionary. But yeah, the street English of 1600s was not the same as the common English of the 1780s or 1750s. By the time, you know, a lot of Americans were very well educated. I've read that Blackstone's Commentary on the Law was second only to the Bible in book sales in the
being
revolutionary
at
generations.
Time, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there was a huge.
So who could read Blackstone's commentaries today and, you know, give us some kind of a critique on it?
Not the average school person. I think they're meant to be stamped out like cookies and be a productive taxpayer. That's the purpose of the free education, the goal. But,
and now the idea is, again, you know, kind of like a couple of days last week, we played clips and so forth from John Taylor Gatto and who else, I forget, you know, basically, you know, what we call the Cloward Piven strategy generally, you know, is the same old strategy to kill them with kindness. And so socialism is a way to, you know, one of the aspects of it is to cripple people to the extent that they essentially exterminate themselves quietly.
Well, to offer some glimmers of hope here, you know, capitalism sometimes is self-correcting. You know, sometimes it doesn't go so far down a particular in a cave that it can't correct itself. So
we need to define terms, though. You know, I mean, what constitutes capitalism? So
the
Fordism,
market, we'll just
syndicalism.
Say generically, the market. The market sometimes is self-correcting. So in education, cursive writing is coming back in some school, circles of public education. They're bringing back writing in cursive. It's been gone for most of the last 20 to 25 years, maybe. In a lot of places, I talked to a retired teacher probably 10 years ago, and she said that they had stopped teaching cursive in the school system that she was in. It might have been Mason County, Kentucky, 10 years before she retired, and she had retired 10 years prior to that. So that was almost 30 years that they hadn't even taught cursive writing. So like you say, lay down a copy of the Declaration of Independence in its original font, handwriting, calligraphy, whatever that's called, and ask, I bet 99% of the youngsters coming out of the public school system now cannot even attempt to read that, let alone write their own name in cursive. So Stalin or one of the, those guys said, give me a generation, right? One generation.
Every despot and tyrant, I would say, yeah. We got other calls. Appreciate it, Mike.
Okay, thanks.
You bet. Appreciate it. Much appreciated, as always. Let's go back to the phones real quick. We got other stuff to get to, but Harold in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
Yes, your show from, I want to say it was yesterday. I think it was a replay from December the 12th.
Okay.
That was great. And unfortunately, I had missed that. And the other R network with five letters has changed their schedule. And it allows me to get back in to listen to your show more regularly. And it's always good. Earlier, I had listened. I've been in and out doing errands. I think you're talking about KJV and language and punctuation, and that spurred me to a thing that I've always been concerned with. And the King James Version, it was an authorized, I guess you could say. And when I say authorized, that's a small a. It was a government translation issued by King James. And if you can go back online, not so much in the Wayback Machine, but there's a couple of internet archives that show some of the earlier inside cover flaps that you probably have seen of the King James Bible, and it's heavily embedded with Masonic symbols.
Yeah, which is similar to what Mike was just saying.
Oh, and I'm sorry, I had missed it. I had taken another call, and then I think even going back to the council when they put together what we call the 66 books of the Bible, I have a question that I don't know if all the New Testament epistles were correctly reviewed, and. And even if they were commentary, they may have been meant to be commentary. I know that's why we say that, okay, they could be apocryphal. But I just have questions with all that. And but I do like your analysis, and I'm not disagreeing. I guess I'm speaking anecdotally and apologize for that. But I always like your commentary on Scripture.
Oh, I appreciate it, and you know, I think this is, hopefully this broadcast adds something to the discussion. I am among the laity, admittedly. And so hopefully that's valuable in the sense that, having no formal training, so to speak, I don't have those prejudices, which I think... I mean, I've talked about some that I've seen, and for better and even for worse, and so hopefully it's valuable.
And right. One quick comment, Mike from Kentucky was, I think he was referring to maybe the straight English, maybe going back 300 years ago and progressing forward. And where I'm going with this, I'm currently just about done with a 50-year-old assignment I finally got around to doing, and that is reading Alexander Hislop's The Two Babylons. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've discussed it on this podcast.
And I'm sure you have. Well, man, it's hard to take it all in one reading. But it's amazing how this man, who didn't really, I don't even think he lived to be 60, but his knowledge as a pastor, a linguist, an etymologist, a historian is phenomenal. And he writes in the current British English of his day, and it is so well constructed and easy to understand. And what I mean is not like our typical easy to read newspapers or websites today. I'm just talking about what a great writer he was. And something's been lost between then and probably the late 40s. And it's just, but anyway, it's a great book to read. And just thought I'd toss that out.
Appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
You bet.
All right. Thanks. Have a good day.
Thanks, Harold. You too. Appreciate the call. Are we skipping the break? Is that what we're doing?
Internet and satellite broadcasting,
oh, we're
and
in a
also
break.
Gain
we're
the
right
opportunity back to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3 for details.
Congress is planning to give the Pentagon a raise. I'm Peter Serafine with this week's Liberty Minute and a reminder to use code LIGHTHOUSE at ZStackLife.com to supercharge your immune system this cold and flu season. I am all for the United States having the largest, most expensive military on the planet, but the Pentagon has failed their financial audits 5 years in a row. In the most recent audit, the U.S. military cannot account for over $2 trillion in assets. Maybe the military needs to spend less time trying to understand white rage and trying to force an experimental vaccine on the healthiest people around and start focusing on protecting our nation and her assets. $2 trillion in lost assets is worth investigating. People need to be fired. I say no more budget increases until the Department of Defense fixes their accounting. If you and I failed 5 consecutive audits, we'd be in federal prison. Just like the rest of government, the Pentagon needs to remember that money and those assets belong to we the people. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me. For me.
All right, welcome back. So as far as, it's interesting. This lately, some people might argue, this shouldn't be a, theological, eschatological, hermeneutical, whatever kind of broadcast. But I think it's interesting, the things that are sort of, coming to the surface. I think a lot of questions that people have or that have been, it's interesting. We've been encouraged. There's, again, with the current of Western, the Western esoteric current that goes way back. And again, if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, you can jump on Wikipedia, of all places, and get a flavor of what I'm talking about with the Western esotericism Wikipedia entry, at least the last time I checked. And in simple terms, the biblical, concept is, two sides of the same coin. Generally speaking, it's Gnosticism and Kabbalism. And it's addressed, in places like Colossians, the epistles of John, the first in particular, and I've mentioned before, I think of it when I read 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and this idea that, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, to Gentiles foolishness. So that's kind of the, Jews ask for signs, Greeks search for wisdom. That's Kabbalism and Gnosticism respectively. Anyway, again, generally speaking, to kind of give you a context of what I'm talking about. So from the Wikipedia entry, the earliest traditions that later analysis label as forms of Western esotericism emerged in the Eastern Mediterranean during late antiquity, where Hermeticism, Gnosticism, Neopythagoreanism, and Neoplatonism developed as schools of thought distinct from what became mainstream Christianity. Renaissance Europe saw increasing interest in many of these older ideas, with various intellectuals combining pagan, quote-unquote, philosophies with the Kabbalah and Christian philosophy. Gosh, that sounds like what we just went through with the holidays. We sort of talked about that, right? Last week, as we came out of as we headed into the weekend, we didn't play the New Year's. Bet you didn't know. Should have gotten to that. Didn't quite get to that. Anyway, continuing with the Western esotericism Wikipedia entry, combining these things, resulting in the emergence of esoteric movements like Christian Kabbalah, which is an oxymoron, a contradiction. Any of these kinds of things are contradiction. Christian Kabbalah, Christian Theosophy, no such thing as those two things. 17th century, so I would say so-called, saw the development of initiatory societies professing esoteric, and that's disingenuous too. Maybe we'll address that when we come back, just for a second. Stick around, we'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
So just to finish this thought and then move on. Actually, before we do that, quick announcement. I said I would do the announcements at the bottom of the hour. So we are having a book drive. We're in the final week. Been doing it since November 7th. I think that's correct, right? This is the final week now through January 8th. Which is less than a week away, next Sunday. Donate $100 plus for an opportunity to receive a book previously owned by John Stadmiller himself. Winners announced every Sunday evening during our 2 of Off the Beaten Path with Steve Elkins. We were not around and open for business yesterday, so that didn't happen. It will happen later today. When? I'm not exactly sure. I don't know what broadcast standby for that. And I believe last week's winner has not yet been announced, so that will happen later as well. Congratulations to previous winners, Robert, Tyler, David, Ingrid, Gary, Sharon, Renee, KS, and whoever this week's lucky winner is. I suppose we'll have more on that tomorrow, this week's winner, last week's winner, winner of last week's book, and the this week's book. So that's what I know. And that's where we're at on that. So to finish the thought on the Western esoteric influence, you know, and to the issue of, you know, part of what I was thinking about saying, it's interesting what is being surfaced in this. You know, the point of saying that I am of the laity is not to cast aspersions or do anything like that. It's just to say I think that I don't have certain you know, for better or worse, I don't have I would say, you know, certain perspectives or maybe even canned responses to things that someone who has gone through seminary might have. And, you know, over the last 100 years, I think it becomes increasingly difficult to deny the reality that the seminarial institutions, if they were ever virtuous and noble, it's, you know, almost impossible to deny the corruption, if not impossible. And I would say it is. You know, I think if you kind of like everything else, obviously, you know, if you really understand kind of where we're at and what's been going on over the last, for a long time now, you know, this is a primary target. You know, I think of, and, you know, the article, I think everyone would benefit from reading, Jeffrey Steinberg's From Cybernetics to Littleton, Techniques of Mind Control, and, you know, Huxley's Concentration Camp of the Mind, Russell and the Lethal Chamber, the authoritarian personality, all of these concepts, you know, liberation through drug abuse, the cybernetic group. You know, speaking of the term human, you know, the idea is kind of the remaking of man generally, and in the devil's image. And that's kind of what I mean by the homunculus, you know, a thing that is not thinking, not really sentient, but is in the sway of the devil. And, you know, the devil, you read the Bible, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, for example, and this character basically says, I will become like God. I can do anything you can do, I can do better. And, man is the target and the prize, as some have observed, of that battle, that struggle, the apostasy, the rebellion, that kind of thing. And so speaking of Jeffrey Steinberg's article, you know, he mentions in the section titled Huxley's Concentration Camp of the Mind, Timothy Leary reminding us in Flashback that Huxley said these brain drugs mass-produced in laboratories will bring about vast changes in society. This is something that Huxley wrote about in Brave New World, obviously, and then talked about later. Will bring about vast changes in society. This will happen with or without you or me. All we can do is spread the word. The obstacle to this evolution, Timothy, is the Bible. Leary then added, we had run up against the Judeo-Christian commitment to one God, one religion, one reality that has cursed Europe for centuries and America since our founding days. Drugs that open the mind to multiple realities inevitably lead to a polytheistic view of the universe. We sense that the time for a new humanist religion based on intelligence, good-natured pluralism, and scientific paganism had arrived. This is the extension of the Western esoteric tradition. So the canon of scripture in the New Testament in particular, you know, criticism, higher criticism, skepticism, that's all part of the Western esoteric tradition. You know, if we can chip away over time. So maybe we'll come back to that. I think that would be good. Continuing with the Western esotericism entry, just to finish that, and we'll move on. 17th century. Well, so just as an aside, briefly, you know, part of what I intended to get to, I guess we'll get to it tomorrow. You know, you have this in the last, say, 6 years or so, you have the NPC meme. Madwell did the commercial for Verizon's campaign with Microsoft on Xbox All Access. At Madwell, the advertising agency. So you, if you haven't seen it on YouTube, it's titled Xbox is Here. It's a Verizon commercial featuring people as what are called non-playable characters or NPCs. Xbox All Access at Verizon. And I mean, it's just weird. This is, you know, art imitating life, which is imitating art and so on. The infinity mirror of art and imitating life, imitating art, imitating life. Anyway, people emulate this kind of thing. So where I was headed with this stuff, speaking of the perversion, subversion of language, is, you know, in the term human, as an example, you know, human is an interesting term. The word person is another interesting term. TrueStream Media. Melissa Dykes just did an interesting video recently. The veil over society got removed for a moment. Talking about the word person and how historically, you can go to Webster's 1828, for example, and see the word person historically from the Latin signifies primarily a mask used by actors on the stage, persona. So that's interesting. And, you know, Ralph Winterrode used to remind us, 5 USC 551, definitions. I think it's crazy. Person includes an individual, partnership, corporation, association, or public or private organization other than an agency. And so person includes a corporation. Corporations are people too. Anything but an agency. An agency is an interesting word too. You know, not as a noun so much, maybe as a verb. So person includes an individual, partnership, corporation, association, or public or private organization, which seems to coincide with the idea that that person is persona, a mask, or a projection of something, you know, form, not necessarily substance. Anyway, that is crazy that, you know, person is defined in 5 USC 551, but also that the person is a mask or, you know, an actor, a state or a non-state actor. Now we start to understand, I think, kind of what these terms, their significance. Anyway, this NPC stuff and what we've seen over the last year, you know, you think about things that guys like Matthias de Smet have said, reflecting on the work of someone like Gustave Le Bon, The Psychology of Crowds. And, you know, you watch what Melissa Dykes said or listen to what she said, in The Veil Over Society Got Removed for a Moment. And the implications are staggering. To me, this is what is happening, similar to if you get a, you know, 12 people up on a stage and say, okay, we're going to hypnotize you all. Everyone has to be willing participants in this. And if you have people who are, who have critical faculties, and I would say, you know, to use a word, could we say agency over themselves in a sense anyway? They probably won't be hypnotized. You have to be a willing participant. And so you see these videos like the thing, which one was that? There's an article about it. It was last August, I want to say. Move over, main character syndrome. It's all about NPCs now, from right-wing slur to viral TikTok trend. People are pretending to be non-playable characters on social media, adding weight to the theory that life is just one big simulation. I think that, and then, you know, speaking of that, there's a discussion amongst, you know, Bible folks about the whole simulation deal. Well, Elon Musk says we live in a simulation, so yeah, I'm thinking that's part of the singularity trap. But there's an excerpt on the Wikipedia NPC meme entry, which I think is provocative. I'll mention this and we'll go to the phones. The initial NPC refers to a non-player character, a term used in video games for characters the player cannot control. The player cannot control. But those characters are controlled by something somewhere. As such, a non-player character is in a game is controlled by the computer and typically interacts with the player through simple and repetitive actions such as communicating the same sentence each time the player approaches the NPC. As such, NPCs have no internality, agency, or capacity for critical thought. That's an interesting soundbite right there, I think. That's an excerpt from an article published back in 2018. Titled, How the NPC Meme Tries to Dehumanize SJWs. This is an interesting sleight of hand that I think works to get us infighting instead of seeing how we're all being duped. Hopefully that makes sense. There was a clip that we were going to play. We're going to be short on time. Paul Washer on Worship of Modern Christians. Brilliant stuff, I would say. Speaking of the music, for example, and this familiarity. Are the feelings, you know, Is it all about feelings? We'll probably get to that tomorrow. Paul Washer on worship of modern Christians. And there are a couple other things. Anyway, maybe you sense where I'm going with all this. We are all being, I would say, turned into homunculus or homunculi. Is that the plural of homunculus? I don't know. Let's go back to the phones and grab Lark in Texas. Lark, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, I have a few jumbled thoughts, and unfortunately, I know we have limited time, and I didn't really want to disrupt your narrative, but or the callers, but I had to weigh in with just a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, anybody can read a synopsis of a book written in 2000 by one Jerry Lynn Ball called Masters of Seduction. That's searchable. But in it, humanism has a long history, and there is such a thing as the history of humanism, just like as of scientism. And I suggest that these are the two modern religions most extant in our world today. But she traces it back to Auguste Comte, who actually is called the father of the social science known as sociology and the coiner of the word altruism. And she talks about how and why Christianity is being targeted for extinction, for elimination. And that's worthwhile. I also wanted to bring up what made me realize that I didn't want my remaining years, such they may be at age 68, to be wrapped around this thing called the internet. I use it as a necessary tool today because it seems to be the public square, the agora of ancient Greece.
Amen.
And it troubles me. But there was a time when I thought I was going to be a copywriter and make a living online because that seemed to be the cool thing to do. And, you know, there was this promise of the socialists have always promised this peace dividend. If we could just have a one world system of governance, then we would have this gigantic peace dividend that we could devote to our fellow humans, as it's been posited.
So but, can I just offer something real quick from the work of the hierarchy? Let's see. There is a plan. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 points in the plan. Point 9E says, a widespread philanthropic enterprise utterly unknown before the year 1500 has appeared, which is the practical result of the growth of the concept of the brotherhood of humanity.
Yeah. Well, anyway, what finally dissuaded me not to embark on that as a new career path? You know, some 20 years ago, was the fact that my erstwhile partner, who was a techie, a webmaster, you know, who basically sat at home, earned a couple hundred thousand a year being a webmaster. And I got into the, you know, ins and outs of how he accomplished that. Well, he accomplished it at the expense of ignoring his two small children and his wife, who became an alcoholic, and he himself became an addict of something called Second Life. And it was maddening to see that. And then just a couple years ago, I chanced about another guy who was in the military. His name is Joseph Gonzalez. Bantam, V-A-N-T-A-M, Joe is what he goes by. But he's convinced he's going to teach these youngsters about the New World Order by involving them in a gaming experience. So he's a big-time gamer developer, or whatever you call these people. And so anyway, as you might already deduce, I'm sickened by all of that because I remember a time when we didn't have this crapola, if you will. But I'll finish this. Did I tell you the story ever about my sixth grade teacher in 1966 when I was 12 years old?
Not sure.
You recall that? Well, just briefly.
Do not.
Mm-hmm. Briefly what she said was that, remember, this is a woman that was nearing retirement. So let's say in 1966, she was about 60 years old. So she was born in the early part of the 20th century. Quite spry, slim, and an ardent Christian. I had never encountered an ardent Christian school teacher prior to that time. 12 years old, 1966. She said that in her day, there was no such thing as the word human employed as a noun. The word human was always an adjective to describe the noun being.
Mm.
And I've held that. I've held fast to that ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we look at the etymology of words like human, the root of humanism and science, the root of scientism, the two extant new religions today that have emerged big time in our lives, we see that by some accounts, the word "who man" comes from the Lord God "who," and man's subservience to this Lord God "who." And the esoteric interpretation of that is spirit, because when we say that sound W-H-O or W-H-Y or H-U, for instance, what we're talking about is breath. And that's where the word spirit comes from, is breath. But another interesting word is this word stylus, which has fallen out of favor in English language, or stylism, same root, S-C-I, as science. That is a superficial or pretender to knowledge. A superficial pretender to knowledge is a stylist. And like so you have to ask yourself, go ahead. You have to ask yourself, well, what is the study of knowledge or the science of knowledge? Well, that is epistemology.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ask yourself, well, what is the study of reality or existence or being? And that is ontology. So the question I have is, because I regard letters and numbers as mere representations of reality. They are symbols. They are, they permit the facility of communication. They're contrivances of man, by and large.
Right.
And we had this conversation years ago.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I would say contrivances with help.
Oh, indeed.
We had help.
Indeed.
And I appreciate Jerry Limbaugh's citation, Masters of Seduction, Beguiling Americans into Slavery and Self-Destruction.
Yeah, but another person we can look to is this person by the name of, and remember, person does come from persona or mask. But this gentleman by the name of Ralph Bunche, Americans have forgotten him. B-U-N-C-H-E. He worked hand in glove with ardent socialist Eleanor Roosevelt in crafting the UN's Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
We are out of time. Appreciate it, my friend. Thank you. Hope it was informative, folks. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease Off LLC. Somersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.